Please open your Bibles with me to Paul's letter to the Philippians, as we will read from Philippians chapter 2, the verses 1 through 18. You may find it in your pew Bible, page 1043. Philippians chapter 2, 1 through 18. Let us hear God's holy and inspired word. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, and here's where our text begins up to verse 16. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. So far then, the reading of God's holy word. I guess I should read one more verse, because verse 17 and 18. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. So far, the reading then of God's holy word, and also the reading of our text as well. Congregation, after the preaching and in response to the preaching, I take the liberty to change the psalter. Now, I've consulted with the organist, and that we change from 417, 1 and 2, that we do 120. 120. Judge me, God of my salvation, and what follows. So, psalter number 120, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 4, after the amen of the preaching. Now, congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then particularly boys and girls, young people. Imagine coming with me to what we might call a haunted house. Twilight has crept up on us, and we're getting close to this haunted house. We see the vague form of bats flitting back and forth around the place. Getting closer to it yet, we see that all the windows appear to be overgrown by and covered by wild vines and weeds. We carefully step up on the broken down porch, and with some fear and trembling, we reach for the handle of the door. Yes, the handle moves, and we slowly open that creaking door. We stick our heads inside. We hear critters of sort hurriedly scampering away in the darkness. Carefully stepping inside, we find ourselves menacingly entangled even in spider webs. What is it that you and I need in such a situation? Well, a brave heart, certainly, and a heart that does not fear or tremble or turn around or run away. Well, we definitely need that. But what is it that we really need? In a practical sense, we need light. We need light. We need light not just to shine on our face. That wouldn't help too much. But we need light to shine in the darkness of this haunted house. Well, now, listen carefully. The world that you and I live in today can also be compared to a haunted house. With all the dangers, with all the scary things that come with it, and with all the darkness surrounding it. And we need a brave heart to survive it. In fact, we need a new heart. We need a born-again heart in order to survive such a haunted world that we live in today. And then, as born-again people, we are to be the light, and we are to be light-bearers of that light in this place, in this world, which I have just described and compared to a haunted house. Now, as we consider the verses 12 through 16 of Philippians chapter 2, I would like to speak on the theme of light-bearing. And that in the following way: God's call to be a light-bearing Christian. And I got three, as it were, orders by way of the Word of God. Work out. 2, light up. 3, hold forth. So God's call to be a light-bearing Christian. Work out, light up, and hold forth. Our congregation, our text passage begins with an often misunderstood statement: work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Some people think that the Apostle Paul says this: do what you can to get yourself saved. It assumes, therefore, then that Paul means that you must accomplish a work of saving yourselves, or at least earn the right to be saved. Now, for some, that idea that man could actually earn his own salvation is rather attractive. It appeals to man's ego, you see. And so they reason from what they are reading here in this passage: oh, we can work our own salvation. But that is not what Paul means at all. This would be totally against what the Bible teaches. Because, after all, it teaches that salvation is by grace alone, or as it says so very clearly in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. You see, what would happen if it depends on your and my works? We would begin boasting about, see, I can do it. God doesn't want that. He doesn't want that. Therefore, when Paul writes here our text passage, work out your own salvation, you must remember this, that he is writing, first of all, to believers, who he calls my beloved, to believers. And to believers he writes, here is what you must obediently do, whether I am with you or whether I am absent from you. And that's this: work out what God has worked in you. Work out what God has worked in you. Now, this is what the Apostle Paul means. And that he means this is obvious from the next sentence, where he explains it to us, that it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It is God, you see, who is the great operator of your and my salvation. We heard of that this morning, didn't we, in terms of the powers of God. Well, God is the great operator of our salvation. And it is he who is the one who gives us a new heart, and who gives us a new spirit. And it is he who also makes us willing then in the day of his power, his dynamis. As it says in Psalm 110, for instance, working salvation in us is completely the work of God and of God alone. And praise be to him for it, because we could never accomplish it. But when Paul writes here in our text, work out your own salvation, he places the responsibility of the outworking of salvation squarely on the shoulders of believers. As you have always obeyed, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So he writes. Well, what does it mean then to be a believer? Let's back up a little bit. What does it mean then to be a believer? Is it enough to say, well, hey, man, I go to church regularly. I take part of the worship service most of the time, and singing and praying and offering. Yes, I do that as well. Well, it's good that you do so. It's good that you do so, absolutely. But that does not necessarily identify you yet as a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. A believer is someone, you see, who has committed himself or herself and their life to Jesus Christ. They have entrusted themselves to the care and love and the salvation that has been earned by Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. They prove themselves, therefore, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and obedient also to the word which the prophets and the apostles have spoken. They are obedient to that word, you see. Now, again, it is obviously, it's good to gather in church regularly. It's good to take part in the worship services regularly. But if that is all that you can say, is there not something still missing? Are you perhaps still hiding what God has worked in you? Are you not working out what God has worked in you? Well, you say, but it's not easy being a Christian in this world of ours. This world of ours is full of threats. There is darkness all around us. And you never know what you run into. It's much like walking into a haunted house. Well, that's true. This is also why the Apostle Paul adds that you are to work out your salvation. How? With fear and trembling. Now, this does not mean that you run around scared and fearful, but rather, and this is what Paul means, with fear and trembling, with reverence, and with a healthy caution for the darkness and the dangers and the traps that are all around. In other words, as believers, we have the responsibility to work out our own salvation, work out what God has worked in us, being alert to the dangers that are all around us. Now, dear people, what the Apostle Paul writes here is what is known in theological terms, and our confessional faith students will know that term, what that means. He speaks here of sanctification. That means growing in holiness, growing in a way that pleases God and that honors him, sanctification. It is that process, you see, of becoming more and more what God wants us to be. It is the process of becoming more and more sanctified or Christ-like in our conduct and in our speech. It is the outworking of our salvation that God, through his word and through his Holy Spirit, has worked in us. Now, one of the encouraging things about this is that God also makes you and me willing to do this as well. He makes us willing to do so. Because, as it says in verse 34, it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. As believers, you may therefore have that confidence that God will not do a half work in you. All you need to do is just read what Paul says in chapter 1 and verse 6. He, that is God, who has begun a good work in you, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. In other words, God works up a willingness in you to work out your own salvation, and he gives you also then the ability to work it out so that it becomes evident in your talk, in the way you look, in the way you conduct, in the way you work. Therefore, you and I, if we confess to be believers in Jesus Christ, we are to prove ourselves to be a believer. As our Bible passage tells us, to work out your own salvation. That is, make it evident that you are a believer. Now, why should you do so? Why should you make it evident that you are a believer? Because, as you've heard, the world is like a haunted house. This is why I come to my second point, light up. In what way should you and I, as believers, work out our own salvation? Well, let me just quickly take you into this haunted house again. What is necessary as you step in and hear critters scurrying about and feel spider webs entangling your hair, your face, and your arms? You need light, don't you? You need light. And what is it that you need to be as you conduct yourselves as a Christian in this world? Same thing. You need light. Well, truly, this is what believers are, you see. And this is what they are to be as well. Lights. This is what the Lord Jesus himself says. You can read of that in Matthew 5 and verse 14. You, and he speaks there to his people, his followers, his disciples. You are the light of the world. And we need to be a light in this world because this world is very much, as I said already, very much like a haunted house that is sunk in darkness. The evidence of darkness is all around. Now, dear people, I don't think I need to explain to you from the pulpit what, for instance, Planned Parenthood is all about. I don't need to detail to you what the gender issues are all about. I do not need to tell you what is happening in some of our public libraries with little children. I do not need to tell you what the woke ideology is all about or what the critical race theory is all about. If you are somewhat informed by what comes out to us by way of the news, you will know and you will be on your guard for it. And I want to say this especially to our young people. Please encourage you to speak to your parents about these matters. You see, there's a great danger in all of this, what is happening nowadays. And that danger is that Satan is busy tearing apart the family circle as we have known them in the past. What is at stake here is that Satan's or satanic approach that I have just mentioned is the destruction of our children, of our teenagers, and it is a way of radically wipe out the family structure. That is what is happening today. And you and I, we cannot remain silent. I, as a preacher, may not remain silent about this either. It would be a sin on my part and would be a sin on your part if you and I would remain silent about it. There are those so-called medical scientists. That's what they call them. Abortionists. Men and women who are scurrying about to make the world not just a scary place, but a place of gross perversion. Besides all of that, There's also those spider webs of temptations that we carry around in our pockets and in our purses in the form of those what you call smartphones. Two or three clicks, and you have the grossest porn right in your hand there. The world has its immoral traps all around us. And we step on such a porch, and you never know where you will fall into. It is like stepping on a broken down porch of a haunted house. And we are faced with that every day. Now, it is by lighting up, and it is by shining our light, that we can expose this darkness, and by exposing it, look for practical ways to overcome this darkness. It is by opening our eyes and opening our mouths as well, lighting up, so that we can begin to expose the spider webs of temptation and of devilish traps. Well, now, this is what the Apostle Paul is busy writing about to his beloved Philippians. Yes, it happened already then. It's nothing new what is happening. It happened then already. And he writes, therefore, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. Now, how can you and I as believers shine, light up and shine in this world? How can you and I as a believer be a light in this world and shine as a light in this world? That's the question that needs to be asked. Well, let me first speak of that in the negative sense. What does not make us a light in the world? Well, the Apostle Paul writes about complaining in our text and disputing. If you always complain, or you could also say grumble, you won't be much of a light in this world. If you always complain about one thing or the other, or about one person or another person, you're not shining your light very well. The term that is translated as complaining here in our text passage means to be ungrateful for the blessings that God has given you. Same thing with disputing, or as you could also translate it as arguing. You must know that an argumentative person, a person who is always disputing one thing or another, is not a very good light in this world either. Complaining and disputing and grumbling and arguing, unacceptable behavior for a believer, because it spreads no light whatsoever and it only increases the darkness. So if you want to work out your salvation and shine as a believer, put down, lay aside that nasty spirit of grumbling and arguing and get the help of Christ for that. But now positively, how can you and I as believers be a light and shine in this world? Paul writes about being blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault. Now, here are three very positive descriptions to make for a good light in this world. If you are a believer, keep yourselves blameless. You will then begin to shine like a light. What does it mean here to be blameless? Well, it means here to be free from suspicious actions. Now, it's not that you become sinless, but blameless. When people cannot suspect you of any crooked dealings. And this is how it should be with every believer, shouldn't it be? Even those who are near and dear to you should be able to say of you and of me that we are blameless. And it will make you shine. It will not make you proud, but it will make you shine. Then there is also the other word, harmless. It means to be without mixture of evil. In other words, pure in heart and in mind. You strive always then to have pure thoughts, pure motives, and pure communications with others, and pure conduct towards others. You strive for that. And this is what it means to shine the light, you see. And the question is, are we harmless in that way? A third characteristic is to be without fault. What this means is that no one can actually point their finger at you and accuse you of any public wrongdoings. There is no public blemish on you. Well, now, this is what is necessary for you and for me if we are to be lights and shine in this world. If we are children of God, believers, blameless, harmless, and without fault, we will be lights in this darkening world. Now, earlier, I've compared this dark world to a haunted house. But you know that in reality, there is no such thing as a haunted house. Haunted houses are subject of scary mystery fictions and ghost stories. A haunted house in reality is only a dilapidated house that either needs to be torn down or needs to be remodeled from the ground up. But Paul speaks here in our text of the world, and that even in more scarier terms, as a crooked and a perverse generation. This means, dear people, that this world is horribly bent out of shape. It is crooked, and men and women of this world are the victims of it. There is moral perverseness darkening this world, and I've only given you a few examples a few minutes ago. More perversions could be mentioned. But what is needed most is light. Light. Things have been left in the darkness far too long. Far too long. The crooked things and the perversion needs to be exposed for what it is. And the thing that is needed, therefore, the most is the light. That is the light of the Word of God that can be shined forth from a Christian, a believer. Well then, believers, men and women, boys and girls, who have learned not to grumble, not to argue, and who have learned to be blameless, and have learned to be harmless, have learned to be without fault, they are in the best position to be such lights and shine as lights in this world. Now, how should believers live as lights in this dark world? Well, the answer is given to us here in the next line, verse 16. Holding fast, or also translated, holding forth the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Now this takes me to my last point, holding forth. Holding forth. If believers are to be good lights in this dark world, they will do what the Apostle Paul also told the Philippians to do. And what are they to do? Well, it's very clear. They are to hold forth the word of life to all who must hear it, including our government officials. Including our government officials. We are to shine, and they in Philippi, they were to shine their light by way of the word of life, that is, the word of God. They are to draw attention to this word of life. Well, what is the word of life? It is nothing else but the word of God, the Bible, isn't it? It is the Bible which declares the Lord Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life. It is called the word of life, you see, because those who come in touch with it through reading it and hearing it begin to see their need of Jesus Christ and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They will have that life, you see, and that with capital letters even, eternal life, that is life never ending. It is called the word of life here, as the Apostle Paul uses it, because it speaks of Jesus Christ being the Prince of Life, who gave his life and who sacrificed his life on Golgotha's cross for people like the likes of you and me who need that life. He, Jesus Christ, the Prince of Life, dear people, he offers himself in the very word of life to sinners who see no future in this sin-filled world. Jesus Christ, he offers himself to sinners who are tired of living in this dark, in the darkness of this crooked and perverse world. Jesus Christ, he offers himself in the book of life as we hear him say, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That's what the Lord Jesus says when we trust in him. Paul, when he was still a free man before he wrote this letter to the Philippians, Paul has been busy holding forth the word of life. He has been busy running with it, laboring with it on account of it. He never grew tired of speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. But now that he is in prison for the cause of the gospel and for the cause of Christ, he says that he will rejoice in the day of Christ when he hears that others are now holding forth the word of life, that those who have heard him, that those who have responded to his preaching are now doing the same thing he did in the past. The Apostle Paul, therefore, expects the Philippian believers to conduct themselves as he did. And he expects this of believers today as well. Dear people, and I ask this of myself as well, are we working out our salvation that God has worked in us? Are we lighting up in this dark world as genuine believers? Can you and I do our very best by holding forth the word of life to those whom you and I come in contact with? If God has worked that salvation in us through the powers that belong to him, you cannot keep it inside for yourselves. In fact, it would be wrong to do so. Therefore, work out your own salvation. Light up as believers and let us shine in the darkness of this world. And by doing so, you are busy holding forth the word of life. Dear people, let us be light-bearing Christians. Let us hold forth the word of life. Let us work out. Let us light up. And let us bring forth. And remember, this you have been given by the potential that God gives to you, so that Christ, who is in you, will be glorified. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Well now, we have not entered into a haunted house with dark windows and creaky doors and holes in the floor, scattering critters and spider webs or something like that, but something far more sinister. A crooked and perverse world. A dying world. Perhaps you know of some, perhaps some of your loved ones who are still part of this crooked and perverse generation. They're in spiritual darkness. They're caught in the trap of evil, and they're caught in the web of evil. They need you and me to be a light to them. They need you and me to hold forth the word of life to them. Else they will die and they will fall into a place that will be far worse than falling down in a haunted house. they will in a place where their mind and their conscience will then haunt them, which will be never ending. You don't want to see them go there, do you? Would you and I, would we be so cold and uncaring to let them go there without a bit of light, without a few words of life from you as the scriptures lay it out for us? Therefore, as you have Christ in you, dear brothers and sisters, work out what God has worked in you. Work out what God has worked in you. Light up by what he has given you and hold forth so that others may profit from it as well. Profit from this word of life. And let Christ, let the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the greater than the Apostle Paul, have reason for us to rejoice, so that at the end of it all, we may enter into the place that Christ has prepared for us, and that he may say, well done, good and faithful servants, to any of us. Amen. Let us close in prayer. We shall yet our Savior praise. Lord God, may this be true in every one of us, young and old, that we have much reason to give honor and praise to your great and glorious and holy name. We thank you that you are the one that works powerfully. And we thank you that you are calling us also to work out what you have worked in us. Help us to do so, that we may be lights in this world, that we would not be ashamed of the gospel of truth, but that we may hold it forth to one and all. Lord God, we pray, have mercy on this haunted house of the world. Have mercy. May there yet be a turning around with our government officials, many of them, but also with various society members who are thinking so much differently than what the Bible teaches. Lord God, may there be a great turning around. May there yet be a revival of the true Christian religion in this world of ours today. May our young people and our boys and girls see that it is good to serve a living Savior who is the way, the truth, and the life. And may we shine forth in this darkening world. Oh God, help us. Help us to do so. Bless us, we pray, as we go home. Take care of us as we go about to do our daily task. May we do it with the light shining from us so that others may ask, what is the reason of your hope? And that we may then answer, and that we may do it on the basis of your holy word. Bless us, we pray. Uphold and strengthen us, each one of us. Bring us home safely. Bless this congregation. May your honor be most at stake. And may we see each and every one of us responding positively to the word that has been proclaimed in Jesus' name, in the forgiveness of all our sins. Amen.